This so you can hear your voice in the real life, and then you can.
Oh my gosh, I hate this. Ah!
Is this stereo microphone?
Huh? Do you think I know?
Because I hear you more on the left side, not on the right side.
Last time that happened with me and Alex, it's in the actual podcast when I started laughing because a fucking microphone just dropped.
Okay.
So guys, how's your morning been so far?
Oh, good. Actually, really good.
Really? Running late?
Well, not that far, but like overall, I haven't listened. Okay.
Oh my gosh, so we can actually start. So hey guys, this is me again, Inga. Today I have two guests, not one, two. They're very good friend of mine, one Lithuanian and one Latvian.
Of course.
So introduce yourselves, guys.
So I mean, I'm a communication student in Coventry University. My name is Jonas.
I'm Linda. I'm a media production student.
So, guys, do you remember when we first met? You were actually two were the first people I met when I came on the course. Me and Linda, we went into the induction class on the first day, and there was this guy at the back of the class.
He was mysterious.
And I was telling Linda, hey, do you see that guy? I think it's Lithuanian.
She actually said that.
So, okay, today we keep Shallow Mind Surfing, Shallow Podcast, of course. And, well, to speak more of my guest, Jonas is one of the biggest rebels and most controversial guy I know, but in the bestest way ever. And Linda is, I don't know, she's the most sweetest Latvian girl. Aww. I know as well. I had so little time to prepare because yesterday we didn't have internet and it was, I literally didn't know what to do with my life.
What happened yesterday?
The internet was gone at our house.
Well, you can go to the university campus. No?
Yeah, it was past midnight. Oh. And I had to still to prepare for this podcast.
Is Hub, which is 24/7 open.
Library as well.
Oh yeah, library.
Ah, cool.
So
cool. Thanks. Yeah. So first of all, I want to give a shout out to all our new listeners. I know that some of my old friends from Lithuania are listening. So linkėjimai jums. And on whatever device or platform you would be listening us on, our podcast is now available on platforms like Spotify, Google Podcast, Radio Public, Breaker, Pocket Casts, and thanks to Anchor for contributing to it. A reminder that this podcast is about us, media students, uni life, professional development, self-reflection, experience in media industry, networking, and real-life struggles. Although in this particular episode, we might slightly touch some broader topics as we do in every single podcast. So, guys, how's your year been? We're almost finished. We're at the finish line. How has it been?
Well, for me, I would say quite good.
Okay, so just to give a bit of a background, me and Jonas, we study media and communications, you study media production.
But I was studying for 1 week media
and
communication.
Yeah, initially she's
and then
she's
I
ours.
Yeah. Yeah, but overall year has been good. I think the most successful part in my life, it's the way that I have understood what I'm interested in, because I was slightly interested in media as itself. So what it covers, television, radio, film producing, anything creative. And now I have realized that I'm super interested in creating art, which is illustrating, graphic design, photography. So I'm trying to dig deeper what it could go out of that. So I think this is the most successful part because I have understood the thing. So now I can just go further, I guess.
Okay, how about you?
Well, the second year, it seems that got easier to write essays, I think, and it's easier to write 1,000 or 2,000 words now.
How so? Is it that you're only trying to hit the 40% line?
Yeah, I have to reach the limit, but it's fine. Since like last year, I've been doing essays on last day before the deadline, and it was quite hard to come up with the words, and my grammar pretty much sucked. But now, I just come up with 1,000 words in an hour or 2 hours if I want. If I really get a lot of caffeine as well.
Wow.
But the worst part about that is that the references and everything, because you write a whole paragraph in everything stating all the things you know and everything that might be relevant, but you have to put the references and quotes and everything to support your statements, and then it gets hard and it takes a lot of time and gets very time consuming. But anyway, I just feel that the whole studying progress is around 1 or 2 months instead of 7 months, I would say, because I didn't much feel the university life for the whole course, and pretty much everything.
Same for me. You didn't feel
it's only 1 or 2 months of actual studying.
Whoops. It didn't feel the community. But yeah. the interesting thing is that we only have like 7 months, you said.
Yeah, right.
And it's still like not a lot, because it's so weird to come in at the beginning of October and finish basically in April. Whereas in Lithuania, we would have uni up until July.
Yeah, it's almost same July, for me as well.
It's quite crazy. All the people just freaking out because they have to study in June.
Yeah.
But I do like that part. You feel like that you're contributing for something.
Exactly.
You feel the money, you know. No, we are paying quite a lot, you know.
And quite a lot. Just 9,000 pounds.
A bit more.
Per year. A bit more than that.
Yeah. And you just don't feel it. I personally don't feel it that as it should be, I guess.
The amount of money they get from the student loans and everything, I would say they should have better lecturers and everything who are having relevant experience and very up to date, instead of most of the lecturers right now, especially media and communications, they are all just talking the things that they used to know before, but they're not talking about what's going on today, all the news and everything that in the media that's going on in 2019. Every one of them seems that they're just picking up the information from the sources that they used to read or anything back in 10 years ago or something.
Yeah.
When they were also studying as well. So.
Yes.
Can you give me insight? What are your courseworks about? Like, just so what are you doing?
Just a second, just a heads up. I need to get my dose of caffeine. Because, do you know the motto of the podcast? Have you heard it?
Not yet.
Okay, and yet those over-caffeinated, imprecisely aggregated conversation reminds us that things matter.
Yes, I
just have to get that. It's not a fizzy drink. It's idea of a great start of the day. By the way, I'm drinking Red Bull.
Well, I had butter coffee today.
Butter coffee?
Yeah, you basically put 50
grams. What the hell is that, you millennial?
I have listened to one podcast about biohacking. Probably, maybe you know background about it.
Yeah, exactly. That's where I get my stuff.
And this is
from
how you absorb caffeine more longer. Is it the case?
Yeah, the butter.
Yeah.
The caffeine high stays way longer in the high.
Okay.
For 2-3 hours when you drink coffee with butter. Basically, you just blend the coffee with butter while it's hot, and it becomes like a latte, but very fatty one, and the fats hold all the caffeine and everything, and kind of your body starts absorbing it slower than usual.
Wow.
In that case, it
doesn't kick in that quick as usually
coffee does. It
doesn't
finish that early.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a coffee for a long term, for a whole day, isn't it?
Well, it lasts 3-4 hours for me, though.
Mm. I have tried it.
Just like a space cookie.
Are you making that? Because I want to do that, but for me I think it takes too long and too much. It takes my effort to do that. So
you like use full fat butter
for coffee?
Yes.
Yeah, actual butter. Yeah.
Yeah, how do you make it?
Today I started, like a couple of days ago, I started just putting my grind coffee, because I freshly grind it.
Mm-hmm.
So I put it in the pot and get some boiling water and top it up with that and let it boil a little bit, just like when you're making an Arabic style coffee. You just keep it boiling a little bit so the foam and everything gets out and the grinds just sink down. And then you put like a bunch of butter into it, let it melt and everything.
What means bunch of butter? So if
50 grams around.
50, which is quite a lot.
Yeah.
Like a spoon or something?
I would say like 3 spoons.
It's more than one spoon.
It's like 50 grams. Wow. Have you seen usually, it's in Latvia we don't have it. Maybe we have, but I haven't seen it. So usually
one block of the butter is around 250.
Yeah, so and it's separated, so you can actually see how much 50
separated.
Grams.
Separated.
Yeah, it's
well.
It's like lines, like yeah. showing how much.
I feel so dumb.
No, it's just
butter
you can...
lattes, separated butter. What else is new?
We're experts of butter, you know.
I haven't okay. tried ghee.
I have tried it.
Ghee is another thing of millennials. By the way, I just want to like to catch up about, well, we can talk about millennials and Gen Z and burnouts. And I want to slightly touch the topic of it and the nature of millennials because people born between 80s and late 90s, as we are, they're fully shaped by technology. And I sent a picture to Jonas yesterday that we only drink lattes with soya milk. And basically, we wake up with a digital alarm after checking emails, social feeds, and blogs in our bed. Then a millennial springs to life and makes a quick vegan, gluten-free, organic breakfast of acai bowl. And then... he basically springs to life. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about millennials? About yourselves?
I'm totally positive about them because they represent what the society is focused on right now. So they're a perfect representation of our focuses and goals as a society. And I don't care as much how they kind of show themselves off on the social media and everything because I just don't use that. But I think it's still have good deeds in those things. Of course they get a social benefit as well in that, but at least it kind of shows to me that what's going on right now and what's relevant.
Yeah, I can agree. Like media landscape is changing a lot now. Yeah. And we can't just escape that. It's part of our life. But in my, like, I don't use social media that lot, so I'm trying to, like, actually balance my life without being social and active and having this digital alarm. Somehow I'm trying to wake up at my neutral time if I don't specifically have to have specific time to wake up. And I just have my time without having phone for a few hours in the morning. That's why I missed today's meeting because somehow I thought it's 12:30.
Well, that's what I want to talk about, you guys, because me personally, like, I get caught up so easily within media, and maybe that's a part of my job, of what I do, on what, like, I mean, I'm a media student. I'm constantly, like, doing something related to media, and that's really bad, and my brain never stops, and I'm on hyper alert and a FOMO of fear of missing out, and I'm constantly focusing on things I should be doing because I suffer from anxiety. Today I was saying to Jonas that I've been running for the past few days finishing all the deadlines and the work, and like I just
you know how it's
anymore.
Called it's called Millennial Burnout. That's my two friends from my coursework, they did a documentary. Well, they wanted to do a documentary about it. So it means that our age people, they're burning out of things that... So they're burning out that they can't do specific things. They're all the time worrying about something that they need to do. So it's just constant drive about being having anxiety about something.
You just brought a topic that I had written down. But
okay, cool.
Okay, let's start with Jonas. So you are 21 years old.
22.
Okay,
you're 96.
Just turned 22. You're a 22-year-old who has no social media. Well, let's say no mainstream social media, if it's the right thing
LinkedIn
to say.
I'm on LinkedIn right now.
Okay, so, and by that, like, no Facebook, no Instagram, no Snapchat. How and why? Like, how did you come up with a decision to go social media free?
I've been using those platforms for at least 2-3 years. I've been using Facebook for even 8 years, I would say, and other ones just for a couple of years. And then I just got tired of the same content and everyone trying to catch up with each other. And that just... very anxious, kind of anxiety proposing. It became just a very anxious place for me to be in because everyone is trying to show their best of their best.
Yeah.
And everything is competing between each other, and kind of the social media use promotes...
comparing lives, I would say.
Comparing lives with each other and basically losing the focus on yourself.
Yeah.
So you basically just create... not the life you want, but the life that other people would appreciate that you have.
Yeah, such a bubble. feeling social media bubble.
Okay, so how that shaped the person you are now? What do you do in your free time? I know that you read a lot of books.
How it shaped me, like, how did I change after quitting it?
Yeah.
Well, now I have more time and I can keep my focus for a little bit longer, so I can now read way more, because I no longer used to those loops of attention, I would say, like feedback loops where you just keep scrolling and everything and just spend 3 or 5 seconds of attention to each thing. But once I quit, my attention span extended, and now I can read articles and books, and I can keep reading for 1 hour if I want. So different things start consuming my attention, but my attention is now sustained and can be focused on one thing in particular for a longer time. And also, I have way less anxiety and I have less worry about what's going on with other people's lives.
Yeah.
Because if something really important happens, I only hear it from my friends. And anyway, the information will come to me anyway if it's really, really important. And I no longer wake up scrolling through the pictures and everything, and I can just focus on my things that I want to do in the morning. And one of the first things I do in the morning usually is just read a little bit of the book or some journal or some articles.
Okay.
And in this way, I'm catching up more with what's going on with the world. Or in other words, I would say that now I filtered out information that I consume, and I consume the information that people wrote in a very high quality that is very, how to say, it's just... Basically, I read things that people write and put real effort and research into it, and they explain in really high detail with references and everything. So just like journalism,
like in-depth
articles, very, very in-depth and not just very superficial
news.
Yeah,
spam and clickbait.
Yeah,
and
like news nowadays is you have to actually choose if you want to read news. You have to find platforms which are actually.
Yeah, I quit Delphi a long time ago.
Yeah, we also have Delphi.
Yeah, I know.
Delphi.
Yeah, well, that's great. What about you, Linda?
What was the question? How I...
So Jonas was talking about going social media free. You said that you use less social media, but still use it. That-
well, why I use social media? I use for my work, how to say... work
like studies related things
more or less. Well, basically this is my platform to show my pictures that I'm my photography that I'm doing,
like a portfolio
and this is I use Instagram, and Instagram is for portfolio representation, and then Facebook is mainly for I use Messenger to just contact with my friends, but social media is putting some kind of big impact on me. Sometimes I catch myself scrolling through Facebook in the morning, but I'm trying to cut that. I'm trying to not use my phone 3 hours before I go to sleep. Well, 2 hours before I go to the sleep. In the morning, I...
Oh, bless you.
It's quite good. It's because it doesn't affect your brain and the
It's
the blue light
much
is...
easier to sleep.
It helps you to slow down. Because
Because
if you're...
You're disconnecting.
Using your phone all the time, and then you decide to go to sleep.
Your brain is still going to be running.
Yeah, running on that information. It's trying to digest it and everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why I have put there is an app which it's an app for your Mac or phone which leverates the light which goes to you. So basically, the app checks the time. What is in my location right now, and then it
like a screen changed. Screen time, is it the screen time thingy?
The one that makes the screen yellowish.
So I use that so my brain doesn't get confused why I use sometimes a phone before I go to the bed or in the morning, but in the morning is the same. It's getting lighter. What else from the social media? I'm trying to cut it. So basically my social media is just to represent my portfolio, which is photography. And that's basically it. Sometimes I use stories, but again, to represent some kind of artistic feel. And that's, I don't need to show my selfies or what kind of food I eat or whatever.
You don't feel the need to show off.
No, I live my life. I don't need to, put this on Instagram. That's why I have my own time and my friend's time. So yeah, social media is for my portfolio.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's what I'm struggling with. But anyways, I'm leaving.
It's slowly coming. If you, for me, I have inspired from a lot of people. Firstly, my friends. Secondly, people that I have discovered, like a lot of podcasts about biohacking, that kind of things, just has inspired me to think more about my health.
Yeah, let's get back to that. What's a biohacking, by the way?
I think Jonas can explain maybe more deeply about it. I have touched this recently, I would say, I don't know, half a year ago.
But that's super interesting. Enlighten me, please.
So it's about the way how you can make your health and life better.
In natural ways.
In natural ways, knowing how your body works. Just like trying, we're getting back to like few centuries ago, how people lived without having phones, having eating meat, you know. It's just everything comes from nature, and we have to somehow find ways again to be nature, use grounding, just to like have time with ourselves. And biohacking is just finding ways to live better naturally, I guess.
Yeah, like it's a term for the things that of like, in a nutshell, it consists of the things that are most efficient in your life, how to be more productive and more energized, how okay. Have to improve your life quality and sleep and everything.
Yeah, save mm-hmm. energy, yeah. Everything.
Just the most efficient ways of doing things in your life, basically, in a natural way, since without doing any drugs or what else. It's
just like some, you know, if you use pills or something to like have some kind of medicine in yourself, it will not heal you. The ways, there are natural ways how to heal yourself. It doesn't have to be medicine or some kind, that kind of...
Everything's about the mind, isn't it?
It is. It comes with mind. Well, you have to train your mind to be...
Mind surfing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, mind
shallow
surfing.
Shallow mind surfing. But okay, I'm happy that I have you to not only shallow mind surfing, but to mind surf in depth. Okay, so you guys, are you both vegetarian or any of your vegan?
I'm vegetarian.
And?
I think I'm slowly becoming vegetarian. The last time, I can't remember when I ate meat, but when I know when I'm going to go to Latvia, I really want the shashliks. You probably know the shashliks.
I'm lacking
the shashliks. It's so good. And I can easily be vegan as well, but it takes money. Like, you have to have strong financial background and time to do that.
Yeah.
But right now, for me, being a vegetarian, I don't need meat, so it's quite easy for me. But yeah, I still need that shashliks when I go back to that.
Oh my God. Get you reminded. Okay, and you guys, I definitely know that you guys both meditate.
Yeah, I do.
Well, here we go.
Now.
Tell me more about that.
Well,
how to start meditate, and what is meditating? Tell it to a person who hasn't done it, and why he should do it.
You basically get into the same state that you get into when you're going to sleep. Let's say you go into the bed and you just close your eyes and start laying, and then all the things in your mind start happening and you start slowing down and everything. So basically, meditation feels something like that to me, at least.
Yeah.
But you're not falling asleep. So, and also it helps to focus on yourself more and not to panic, or it regulates my impulsiveness.
Breathing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you
have to, all impulse. You have to always be conscious of your breathing, let's say.
Yeah.
There are meditations where you have all your eyes closed or eyes open, but you just don't pay attention. You don't pay attention to things, but in another case, you must focus 100% on the things that are coming out from your head. So let's say if some thoughts start worrying you, you have to focus on your thought. Just let it go through, you know, just let it happen.
Yeah.
And once it goes up, like once you think through it, it goes away and that's it. It no longer worries you. Because a lot of people just come up with some thoughts and everything, but they just keep it and delay it and everything, and then stacks up to the big thing, and they get very anxious and impulsive, yeah. And just it doesn't help. So that's why meditation is really beneficial, because it slows down everything in your head, and then you start deconstructing what's going on in your head.
Yeah. Okay, how do you do it? Do you do it daily, or
usually
like?
I do it daily, and I used to do it in the mornings, then I used to do in the evenings.
Yeah.
And now again I'm doing in the mornings after my exercise routine, in the mornings after I exercise and everything.
Yeah, I do the same.
Before the cold shower and everything. Now I'm using Sam Harris' Waking Up app.
Ah, again, social media. Not social media, but still media.
It's what do you mean by media? It's not media, it's an app.
It's an app. It's still an app. It's technology.
Yeah, it gives guided meditation. So, I mean, yeah, it's digital and everything, but it's not social media.
So you would say
contact meditation. With people.
Yeah.
It just kind of helps you out. I use
and
it
this
as
is a guide
tool.
For you, yeah? So the person, what is this app? Can you describe me?
So Sam Harris is just a philosopher, I would say, in most broad terms. And he talks about religion and faith and everything, the way of life and meditation, spirituality.
Okay, so just like, he doesn't guide you throughout the meditation. It's just, he gives you spiritual...
Now breathe in.
Now, there is this Sam Harris podcast, and the app is a different thing from it. In his app, he has daily meditations.
Okay.
And they're guided meditations, actual guided meditations, and... He doesn't talk too much, but he helps you to go through
the process
of meditation, and he teaches various ways of doing the meditation as well, and helps to better understand what's going on with your thought process.
Okay, super interesting.
Because I used to do only by myself and just closing my eyes and sitting
hard.
And breathing. Well, that was a quite profound experience anyway. But then I decided that I should use other people's advices and see what. Other people are advising and what best I can learn from other people, because if they're doing and publishing and letting other people know about what they know, basically what they're sharing the knowledge, so probably it's valuable and because they're investing into it. So I just decided to pick up the tools that people are giving out and try to get the best out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Well, I have an app as well. Once I get really anxious, I meditate. I don't meditate daily, or I just do it when I'm feeling anxious to let things go out of my mind. And oh my gosh, thank God I'm going to Norway in a week for a month, so I'm gonna disconnect from everyone and everything,
yeah,
and I'm gonna
so
meditate,
good.
Go to the mountains, and just fuck off.
That's happened with me in Switzerland. Basically, there I was meditating, but as I had nature and like so amazing views, I just went outside and I was connected to nature. But here in Coventry, I feel quite anxious with the fact that the city is concrete jungle, and it just drives me some kind of worrying inside of me. And that's why I meditate here in Coventry. Yeah. But
yeah. Well,
Norway is nice for meditating.
Okay. I want to get back a little bit to our studies and placement specifically. So all of us are finishing our second year in uni now, and we're going to be leaving it for a year. So we're all taking a gap year, whether we'll be working or traveling or doing whatever. I'm doing a placement in Barcelona. Yono, tell me about your placement. What are you going to be doing?
Well, funny as it is, I got marketing in a placement here. That's
in London,
from,
right?
Yeah, it's near London. It's Hemel Hempstead.
In
Harman. It's in Harman, but the branch is working for JBL.
Ooh,
nice.
Fancy.
And that's funny that I got marketing role because I'm studying media. So.
But it's still, you know, digital media is still media. It's just you. Somehow when I'm now running my website, there are a lot of things throughout marketing aspects which I have learned. And this, I don't know, are you doing just marketing?
Well, it'll have some of the media aspects, as they said in the job description, but still it's going to be focused on marketing anyway.
Okay. How did you get it, can I ask?
Well, I was randomly applying to all the places that I could find, and then on the side I got some advice that I should try marketing as well, because I'm a little bit interested in it. From my search and rate my placements or something else, I don't remember right now, I just applied for Harman, sent my CV and everything, and... After a month or something, I got a reply that I'm invited for an interview and everything, a phone call and everything, and I had to go and have another interview.
Nice.
Well, it seemed that worked out.
Awesome. Well, congratulations on that. Linda, what are you going to be doing?
I'm still figuring out.
You're going to become a digital nomad.
Maybe, yeah. I'm still looking for placements. I have, like, got a few answers, but the salary is not the best, so I better... Not take the opportunity rather than like
What's
the salary?
Struggling. It's under 500. 500. Yes, 500.
you know, millennial once more.
Exactly. And like being not once more, being like just living like reality, like looking around. The prices are quite expensive, especially in Europe. It's just it's expensive live as a student and having like 500 salary, you know. You have to
not like the minimum wage for a media producer should be like around 2k per month.
Yeah. But those are internships, and you know, people are just trying to find benefit from us. And
yeah, still. But it's always good to take a gap year. I mean, it's gonna be such a refresh even for us when we're gonna be doing placements from uni.
Yeah, I'm looking forward. Like, I don't know where I'm gonna go, but with my boyfriend, we are still thinking about. We are thinking about traveling year. So I don't know where we're gonna go, but I'm looking forward to go somewhere and
try America.
Visa. And I mean, it could be nice throughout the summer, but yeah. I don't know. Let's see. I'm just excited to go somewhere.
And yeah. So, well, the main reason why I wanted to take a placement year out is that I didn't want to go and jump straight into the third year and do a dissertation and a final project, because academically and personally, I don't feel ready for it.
Like, I feel the same.
I feel that I still need so much development in like my professional, I don't know, professional aspect of my life, that I could do like a very good final project, because I don't feel ready. And I don't know,
I feel the same.
But
it's quite a big project and you have to invest all your time and life,
and I'm just trying to avoid the graduation.
Yes, anyway, so. 1 year skip.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is going to be, well, no, it's not going to be a gap year for you, but you had a gap year after you graduated from school, right?
2 years.
2 years, even 2 years.
Yeah.
So what did you do in those 2 years gap time?
When I finished school, I just, I tried to get in a college, so I got into college. I've been studying software engineering for 2 months.
Know that, in Vilnius.
Yeah.
Is it VGTU or VU?
No, neither.
Which one?
It was college.
Ah, collegia.
Yeah, I got it for free, so it's fine. Because I was looking for anything that I could get into it and study.
Mm-hmm.
But the environment for me was not as the expected, I would say. Because all my course mates were already experienced and a little bit ahead from me. And I got frustrated when I had to do that high tier mathematics and everything.
Got like me computing so stuff?
Not computing, but like actual math.
Okay.
It was so hard, and because I'm not very talented in maths, I think. But still, at that point, I felt that I'm not ready for studying, and some of my friends were already taking gap years and everything, traveling. So I decided to just quit and get back to my hometown. And then I just applied for my work in a bar as a bartender, and I worked there for 7 or 8 months now, I think.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
That way, I saved some money, I got some experience.
Linda, shut the fuck up. Yeah, keep going.
I had lots of experiences with other people, so I basically gathered information from the people who were traveling and everything, because working as a bartender helps a lot to communicate with other people, because everyone is visiting you. So throughout that time, I got some knowledge on the things that I want to know, I think, and the things I didn't even know about. I remember that I started applying for Canadian visa at that time, for the working holiday visa in Canada. And I was not expecting to get it, because it's very tough competition, because there's over 2,000 or 3,000 Lithuanians each year trying to.
And how many visas are there issued?
They give out 175 visas a year.
I think it's for New Zealand now as well. Yeah. 100.
New Zealand is 100. Japan. Thing, no.
Yeah.
So, back in the day, it used to be that you first come, first serve, but at the time when I applied, that was the first year when they changed the policy and they started giving out in quotas. So basically they're giving out 20 positions every month or a couple of weeks, and they kept rotating it. And by that lucky chance that I got, I received my invitation to keep applying for my visa and everything, to proceed the process and everything. So I had to go to see the doctor and everything, pay 200 euros just to get medically examined.
Like, not insurance, examined. But the, yeah.
Medical examination and everything, with all the x-rays and everything. And fast forward, I stayed for the whole summer in Lithuania.
Mm-hmm.
And in September I left. That was a tough moment for me, because at that point when I was in the bus, I understood
that. How old were you that then?
19.
Moving to Canada by
myself,
at 19.
Yeah, when I sat in the bus, that hit me hard, because I understood that I'm not going to get back home very soon.
But you're actually going away.
For how long did you go there?
Almost 6 months.
Okay.
Well, I could have been there for a whole year, and I wanted to be for the whole year, but probably some people can relate to me saying that the Christmas time really hits you when you're alone during the Christmas time, yeah?
Yeah.
So after the Christmas time in New Year, when all my friends were celebrating and everything, straight after that, I felt super lonely and everything and crushed a little bit. That kind of gave a stir to my whole plans and everything, because I was planning that I'll come back after a whole year in Canada. Then I said I'll come back in May, and then I said I'll come back in March and everything, and then I just kept putting my date a little bit earlier and earlier, yeah. And I worked for a couple of places and everything. Well, it was a little bit tough because I was new in the job industry and everything. I had no clue how
was it goes like. Hospitality?
I've like been doing hospitality, bakeries, bars, some random clubs. Mm-hmm. I did also a factory job.
Yeah, traditionally.
Yeah, it was a little bit eye-opening experience. And I what the best thing I got from that experience is that I've seen loads of people working in shitty jobs. And that really motivated me not to get into that job for my whole life, because it's crazy when you see those people with your own eyes. They're just working those really poor jobs, hard jobs. They're not mentally very intense, but they're physically intense, and they're very repetitive, and they just keep working that for 10, 20 years, and they don't care, and they're saying it's easy. But I thought that I didn't want to stay in that group of people for my whole life or anything, so it kind of kicked my ass a little bit and jumpstart my plans of my life that I have to do something more purposeful.
Yeah.
Because if I'm gonna stay there, I'm not gonna get big wages or get my dreams come true or anything. So after all that stress and everything, I came back to Lithuania. That was already 1.5 years of my gap year. And then I started learning some coding as well. I was just trying out, because I know that coding pays really well and you can learn it by yourself. It's really tough, but you can still do it. But after some time, my girlfriend motivated me to get into the university that she was getting into. And I decided, why not? Because there are not many options that I can choose from, and probably it might be a good idea to move out and everything, because I was already keeping that in mind that I should go UK to study, because it's really easy to get into the university.
Yeah,
the only bad thing is the student loan, but
it's not that bad actually, because we have really good like, not requirements, but what's the word,
requirements to get it back, give it back.
Yeah,
just like,
yeah.
Oh yeah,
it's easy for easy.
Well,
for us.
you don't give it back basically if you don't earn as much.
If you're smart, you cannot get it back.
Well, let's not get into that.
Well, it's a little bit disappointing that it's so easy to get into the university right now, because there's no competition.
Yeah, and I didn't like it.
Well, maybe that's in Coventry. Maybe you should try getting into Cambridge.
Well, Cambridge is different, because they really check the people out and everything. They have quotas and everything for certain people and certain professions and everything. Well, I'm talking all the mainstream universities that are just getting the profit from the students, and doesn't matter what kind of students they are.
That's such a definition for Coventry University, benefiting from like living. Oh my gosh, the whole city is living out of student loans.
Quantity, not quality.
Yeah.
You can obviously see that Chinese are supporting UK so much.
Yeah, let's pretend you didn't say that. But yeah, remember that this podcast is going to be listened by our lecturers as well.
Really? This is a part of your studies?
I'm going to be using this podcast as part of my module for careers in the media. So Daniel is going to be listening to this.
Ooh, hey! Hello, Daniel!
Shout out. Daniel is one of the best teachers, though.
I can agree, yeah. If I would have a possibility to come back to your course, that would be Daniel. Why I would come
and
back.
Alan and Barb and
okay, I haven't met them.
Don't go that way.
Okay, well,
many things to criticize about the uni.
Like,
it's ridiculous.
You know, you could name like 20, 30, 40 negative things about our course, but do you have any positivities about our course? What are three top qualities of our course that you like?
Well, I think the first thing is that it gives an opportunity in the environment itself, gives
like
tools
in a
and everything.
Professional workspace.
Yeah, they give it professional workspace for everything. So yeah, you get the tools and everything
like
that you need.
Like radio student, TV
to
studio.
To work on the stuff, yeah. So that's the biggest benefit, I would say.
Yeah.
That's a very obvious one. The second one was that they provide us the MacBooks and everything and support students a lot. They care, not sure how much they care about the feedback. Sometimes it seems that the feedback is just make us feel better, but
or maybe just an official part of how things has to be done.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not sure about the careers aspect. Like, Claire was actually helping me out. Yeah,
Claire.
I can agree.
Same,
with that.
Yeah. Such a shout out to Claire.
She's
the
best.
She's the best placement supervisor.
Yes.
I kind of liked her effort as well. So that's another positive thing about it. Well, talking about Alan. Alan is very knowledgeable and he knows a lot and he talks from his own experience and he's trying to keep up to date. There are some things that he's really not going the right way, but there's also this his good side of him.
Yeah, just a heads up, Alan is our year tutor.
That he speaks from himself and he seems a very genuine person and he doesn't talk nonsense or whatever, just told to talk. Daniel is really caring and cares that we're keeping up with the stuff and deadlines and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But with the other lecturers, I would say I'm not as very happy because they seem a little bit biased and keeping up with their own opinions and trying to kind of get some benefit to themselves and make their jobs easier. Let's say in comparison with Lithuanian universities, not everyone is a little bit, not even a little bit, way more serious.
Like more strict.
More strict and everything. They really keep the you checked on if you're doing.
We know
the
that just
the
part
everything.
Of the UK's education system. It's very liberal, I'd say.
It's very soft.
They give you a lot of space for yourself and for individual work.
I think that's their
work.
Idea that you have, like, I would say 60%.
Or maybe it's just with our
time.
Course because, well, media and communications course is such a fresh, raw course that it's still developing. And maybe after 10, 15 years, it's going to... But such thing could never settle, on the other hand.
Well, it also kind of does not give me rest in my head, knowing that it's not possible to get 100.
Yeah.
It kind of like plays with my mind because here 70 is super good. It's like first.
Mm.
But
yeah,
you can never get 100 basically. No one gets it.
Yeah, like that was
unless you're
one
in math.
Of my questions. Like is there how do you get 100? How do you get 98?
I think
because
it's not possible.
Because
90%, yeah.
All of my grades were like so. The feedback I got was, all right, maybe I'm not like pushing myself a lot, but my best grade was 82, and I don't know, like, how do you get 100 here? How?
Well, we're studying humanities, so it's a very subjective course itself.
Exactly.
It's individual, yeah.
Because the lecturers are marking you on very personal, individual point of view. I would say they're kind of judging you from their own opinion a little bit always, because they still have to interpret what you're talking about. Of course, you use all the referencing and everything, but it's not the case right now.
Mm-hmm.
And on the creative side, on the skill side, for us in the media and communications, I haven't seen at least one lecturer who was competent on Adobe. And basically, whatever you can do on Adobe, it doesn't matter, because they just don't judge you on Adobe, even though they're asking you to use Adobe and everything. And you're trying to be creative and everything, but they just don't care, and they just care about the theory you put in your video. So you just...
I can agree on that. Yeah.
Kind of you're trying to show your personality and everything, and show yourself, show your creative side. But in the end, they just don't care, and everyone is being graded on their theory that's applied. Even in the presentations, you can see all the students reading from the paper, not even looking at an audience, or playing a video, and they're still passing through. That kind of pisses me off so bad.
Yeah, that pisses me off as well. I don't want to put some people like specifically, but like you're a second year student in international university and you are reading. Well, if you're reading, then at least read it before at least once, so you know what you're reading, because some people don't. Okay, but anyways, Linda, let's get back a bit to a gap year. You had a gap year as well.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you go?
Switzerland.
And what did you do there?
So after high school, I was not ready for going to university. I just needed my off time.
Yeah.
So I just got lucky, I think. And my friend, throughout friends and friends, offered, I got an opportunity to be there an au pair. So that means that you're, I wouldn't say nanny, because you're more than nanny. Well, I was more than nanny in that family, in those two families. Yeah. I was more like a sister for those kids. And you just live with family, you help kids, you spend time with kids, and then you have your own time, and you get your salary, you get paid, and your accommodation is covered, your food is covered. It's basically like you live with your family, just your family is paying you to look after your brother or sister. You know?
I want to go to au pair, and like, I think it was... Work and Travel released a new program to go au pair to
America,
I think.
Yeah, so basically why I wanted to do an au pair as well, because in high school my really really good friend, she went to America and I went to Switzerland to do an au pair. So basically she was in America for more around 2 years, so she enjoyed it. It's amazing opportunity to see world, see that place, to just be financially supported, and you can still travel and do fun stuff and meet friends and people.
Yeah,
and
I can't wait to go back to America next summer. Jonas, are you going back to America?
I wish I could now.
Like right now, in this very moment. So guys, you've been traveling a lot. Like, do you have any like cool, interesting stories from your travels?
Oh, I have a lot, but which to choose from? What, do you want some fun times or...?
Sure, whatever you want to share.
What I could... So basically, we went to Malta. Have you been to Malta?
No.
Not yet.
Oh, go there. It's cheap tickets from London or Birmingham as well. And the place is so small. It's island. It's... I don't know, we rented a car and we drove throughout the whole island, and it took just like a few minutes to go to be on one side and just like half an hour to be on another island, island side.
Yeah.
And so we found a cave, like huge cave, and it's super high. I would say like, I can't measure this high, but I don't know, just you have this freedom of doing whatever you want, and we just... we were jumping from the cliffs and doing fun stuff. And I think this is what drives me to travel, finding spots which local people doesn't know. And then you just like explore the beauty out of it. So I don't know, just we were jumping out of cliffs and I don't know, swimming under the cliff and just spending time there. And then just like, I don't know, like this is quite broad, but... travel makes you want to live more in my eyes and get lost in it. That's why I want to do traveling, just get lost in my year.
Yeah, get lost and get found.
And just
found.
Like one day you're one in
or
one
find
place.
Yourself.
Exactly, okay. And you can find yourself as well. And and it's if you know, as in this position right now, my friends are all throughout the world. So our plan is a bit maybe to travel to them one person, other person.
Yeah, so I'll be waiting for you. Yes, in Barcelona. Please come, guys. All open to you. Yes, Jonas, what about you? Any interesting travel stories?
Well, my latest travel story would be just that I was in Romania 2 weeks ago.
Oh, how was that?
Pretty eye-opening, I would say.
Why?
It's pretty much what I expected, though, from the Romania itself. Because I thought, I've been to Lithuania. It's going to pretty much look like Lithuania. Mm-hmm. But then I understood that's a bigger country. It's a little bit harder to get, improved and everything, right? And also they have way higher rates of corruption and everything.
Oh, yeah.
As much as my Romanian friends told me about. And then I thought it's going to be like Lithuania, but 10, 15 years ago. And once I got there, it didn't surprise me that much because, well, it got me surprised, but at the same time not. Because it's a very, very chaotic and messed up country. They're still in very baby step.
I think it's the same with Bulgaria.
They're still doing baby steps and getting into European country, look like. They still don't look as much European as they're supposed to. Of course, you see lots of gypsies and everything.
Which cities did you go? Did you go to Bucharest?
Bucharest, Brasov, Rajnov.
Okay.
It's Rajnov. Brasov is the middle of the Romania. It's like in the center. It's a very touristic place.
Yeah.
So Brasov was really nice, at least in this town. City center and everything. Mm-hmm. You have all the old buildings, people speak English and everything, so it's quite nice. Well, it's popular because it has very nice views and everything, all buildings, all the history. Transylvania is 10 kilometers away or something, so people are just coming out there. But if we go in Bucharest is just messed up because they're just still starting to build new buildings.
Just like Coventry.
Yes.
No, trust me, if you compare...
No, I think Coventry is a bit... Okay, whatever. We're not going to get into that.
So Bucharest is very messed up and not clean at all, I would say. People are really frustrated because of the corruption and the politics. They don't trust their government at all.
Oh, yeah.
So it's even more illegal activities going on there. You can see lots of gypsies. Of course, they're gonna scam you or anything. So it's pretty much obvious thing. Like, you have to be careful there for sure. There's other side that there's very nice people there, and that place is literally fucked up. But you can always find those nice people who kind of make your day, I would say. But the environment itself, all the architecture and everything is very Soviet-like. Yeah.
Soviet Union. Yeah.
So, okay. And the prices are quite high for such a city, I would say, because in the city center, when you go to the restaurant and for coffee or anything, they almost have the same prices as in the UK.
Really?
Yeah.
It's quite high.
Not talking about the restaurants, but restaurants are a little bit like 40-50% cheaper than in the UK. So it's pretty much what was going on with Lithuania when we got into the European Union. We got a lot of tourists because it was cheap for them. Same as Lithuanian migrants that come to work in Ireland, UK, whatever, and then they come back to Lithuania and everything is cheap for them. But then we got Euro and now pretty much all the prices and everything are the same or even more expensive than in UK.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Okay, guys, so we get back from our placement years. We meet in a year and a half.
That's good. We
do our final year. And what then? What are your future endeavors? What do you see yourself in a couple of years?
Well, I hope that my placement year will boost my financial situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also willing to have a second job or side job, like off to work or something.
Yeah.
To boost it up even more.
Shout out to off to work.
No. No, I'm not gonna.
No.
I'm not gonna plug them.
Cut it.
Well, it's a good source of income, and also for people who don't have any experience, it's a good place to start, at least in hospitality if they're students.
Yeah.
It kind of gives a little bit of knowledge what's it like. Of course, it doesn't give you the actual work experience. It's very babysitted and everything.
I can agree. Like, team leading shifts are much better. You can still use your own time and, like, workout. But overall, yes, I can agree.
I'm willing to save enough money so I can start trading the money and investing it.
Okay.
To kind of build my future, I would say. Okay. Get some funding for myself and be responsible for my own money.
Okay.
Instead of spending all the wage on things to just show off to other people, I would say I will sacrifice my comfort a little bit and anything just to, and the purpose of improving my life quality in 10 years.
Do you think you're still going to be in UK, or would you like to move back to Lithuania maybe?
If I get a really good job in UK after my studies, with all the relevant experience I'll be getting in Harman and everything, is still going to invite me back. And they're going to suggest me a good wage. Probably I'll stay for one more year or 2 years.
Yeah.
But in the long term, I don't see many prospects in UK.
Mm-hmm. Would you want to go back to Lithuania?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I would as well.
Yeah?
Yeah. The thing is about me, I want to do another bachelor.
In Lithuania?
Yeah.
Wow. What would it be?
Scandinavistics.
Scandinavian languages.
No way.
Well, that's what I'm thinking right now. I always want to do it. I got into Vilnius University after graduating school, but I was already in Coventry, so.
Yeah.
I want to do so many different things. Like, same. I'm feel so the same. All around the place. I'm
that's
still
why
like
we have
looking
to find
for
a
myself.
Specific path where to maybe develop ourselves on. That's cool.
But I don't believe that a person should have like only one path in his life. That because as I was saying, I'm interested in so many things. Like, there are so many things I want to do.
I do agree, but I think we have to find like the path which drives our like where we can find ourselves, like what drives us to wake up in the morning and do that or few things, or like those things can like come in one thing, you know, and it doesn't need to be like one thing, one or that thing. It can relate to each other, but I think we still need to find something which just, oh, I'm gonna wake up this morning, I'm gonna do this and this and this, and this is what I do, you know. Yeah. I want to find this inside me, and I'm slowly finding it, but yeah, well, it depends on people, I guess.
I came to realization that, I'm still young and I have plenty of time. I can wake up every morning, whatever time I want, because I'm just a student. But in the end, life's too short to, like, I realized that life's too short to keep waking up at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
It's just too short. That's why you see older people waking up at 5 a.m. Because they realize that the life is too short and they get really depressed because they're just wasting their lives off. So in my case, I'm trying to now to shift to that thing.
That's a golden rule.
Yeah, where you wake up early in the morning, you don't waste your life away just in the comfort. Because I don't know, if I wake up at 10 or something, I get super depressed because I already wasted one of the most productive hours in the day.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Like, most productive hours in my life is in the morning when I can get my things done.
Yeah. Okay, Linda, about you, where do you see yourself in a couple of years' time?
Well, let's see when I'm going to come back after this year, what's going to be. But I really want to develop my creativity in the way where I'm working right now. I want to develop my creativity, like the way how I work with illustration. I think I'm at the point where I want to develop myself as a creator. And surely finishing uni, let's see. I can't right now tell where I'm going to be, but I really want to be creator where I actually can work with people or agencies and be the person who can shift my life in the path where I want to go.
Yeah. Okay. And we're moving to our last rubric of the podcast. It's Blitz Questions. It's going to be very quick, so you guys have to answer my questions as quick as possible. I'm going to be using the same questions that I used in the latest two podcasts. So, you ready? Mm-hmm. Okay, let's start. Describe your course in 3 words. You want to start with you?
Very broad and messed up.
And the third one? 3 things.
Oh, broad, messed up, lacks consistency, I would say. I mean, no, not does that. Very loose.
Okay. Yeah. I'll take that. Linda?
Practical. Can I describe in more than three words?
Go for it, sure.
It lacks the acknowledgement, the way, like, it lacks theory and cool community, which I have, people what I have met, so people, I guess.
All right. A thing you couldn't live without. Quick.
We don't get to basic things like air and water.
No.
For me, I guess love. Being loved and love someone. Yeah.
Okay, you know?
My gut sense. I mean, like, your inner voice, I would say. Without my inner voice, I would be kind of crazy, freaking out.
All messed up. Okay. You are selected to attend an interview in your dream job. I am your potential future boss. So sell yourself in the next minute. Linda, go.
Oh my God. if you... you got me.
Why should I hire you? Tell me.
Well, I'm the person who can find any creative wave in any solution. If you would like to find magical ways to find solutions, hire me. That makes sense.
You can find a creative solution to any situation. Okay, you know?
Well, I can prove myself as a good long-term investment and become a really reliable person that can take the wheel whenever you want me to take and be at the face of the company.
Okay, hired, mm-hmm. both of you. Okay, thank you guys very much. By the way, this was the last episode of the season as all of us are leaving uni this year for good. I'm kind of sad that I'm not going to be coming to the studio every single day, but this was just a short attempt to see if me and a podcast could work. So thank you very much for helping me do that.
I can say a feedback to you. I think.
Sure, go. I need feedback.
You need feedback. I think you have a good start. You have the voice and you have the, brainstorming feeling, you know, when you can actually, the conversation is in your hand, so you can go whatever you want with it. And you can, you just have to continue with it. Maybe try some depth topics, like
certain topic for the whole podcast.
Yeah. Like you have the topic and you talk about that and it would drive more attention to people. This is how I listen to podcasts. I listen to podcasts where the topic for 40-30 minutes. This is the way I actually listen those 40 minutes, because this is one specific topic, so then I can actually that topic is actually giving me more like knowledge about some things. So
yeah.
I think you have a good start and I would be happy to hear something from you.
Yeah, well, thank you very much and I really enjoy the whole process and love these talks. But hey, it's just the first season. Who knows? So thank you guys for coming and you stay beautiful people and see you next time.
Ciao.
Oh my God, that was painful.
Nice, good job, Inga.
Now let's just hope that was recorded.
Oh.
Kill myself.